Aloha, this is Dr. Lori Moore, and I'm very happy to announce my wonderful guest today, Brad Tilden, the extremely talented and gifted musician and healer, who is also a personal friend and has blessed our satsangs for some years in many different cities with his incredible gifts. And Brad is a very authentic, kind of honest person, so I'm just going to jump right in and start the conversation with exactly what I was thinking about right before you called in, Brad, which is that I was reflecting upon expression and how our souls have such a deep intent to serve, to receive, to give, to express when we come in. And you obviously came in with a very strong purpose. But what is very special to me about your understanding is that you've included the intelligence of the physical, emotional body as a really to-be-honored kind of expression that wants to match the soul and wants to be treated with the love of the soul. And I noticed that sometimes when you were at the events and you were just giving yourself full-on permission to let your body go into sound and movement and everything that to me is natural and the source of healing so much and changing so much and bringing life to so much, some people's buttons were pushed. And I was reflecting upon that. And I was realizing the people's buttons that were usually pushed who would come to talk to me about it, I would say, if not 100% of the time, 99.9% of the time had some kind of physical addiction going on that they weren't really willing to look at as a pattern of stopping expression in their being. And so your willingness, and there's nothing wrong with addiction. We all experience addiction. Addiction can be to thought. It can be to matter. But something about your freedom, which ultimately they came around and realized that you were a great source of liberation there to help them. But it just showed me how much culture has shut down our natural physical, emotional, that can go into sexual, just our natural innate ways of expressing to the point that we're threatened by someone, we can be threatened by someone who is and develop all kinds of addictive patterns to stop ourselves from feeling the intricacies of what it is to really be in a body and mind. Mm-hmm. So what's your perspective about all that?
Yeah, wow. Well, you know, I've been very lucky about my upbringing and my environment. I always create very positive, supporting, expressive personal environment. And so for me, it's just natural to express myself in the moment, to move if I feel like I need to move, to make sound if I need to make sound. You know, all of these things, they just come out. And I know I'm right there with you, especially, you know, this one time when this was really going on in a really acute fashion. I knew that the people that I were triggering weren't really angry at me. They were angry fundamentally at their lack of permission that they gave themselves to express themselves. And, you know, that, you know, it has such different origins in different places. And so everyone is unique and different. But to me, it's actually kind of like, it's silly. You know, we're here to have fun. We're here to express our love. You know, we've connected with our, you know, when we truly connect with our soul, we don't stop expressing. You know, it can take on any form. You know, it can be typing an email, you know, and just like throwing in some funny little quirks or, you know, putting stuff on Facebook that you find amusing. It's all part of that expression. And you know, it just is something that people just need to connect within themselves. And people are, you know, I don't know how to phrase this more kind of properly, but you know, people are like, they like to mimic other people because they like to fit in. Fundamentally, it's more important for them to feel connected to other people than it is to, you know, be shut down and isolated. So when someone is being full-on expressive even if they get triggered initially, there's a deep yearning for them to be able to do that too. And so that person who's, you know, being the catalyst is giving them permission on a subconscious level to do the same thing. And ultimately they come around and they start expressing in whatever form it is that that works for them, or, you know, how, whatever their muse is. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. But.
It's a beautiful, natural way that you have to understand and just have complete neutral compassion for people if they're triggered by you. It's really refreshing and so egoless. I love that.
Thanks.
That's really sweet.
It took a long time to get there.
Would you like to, you know, it's so interesting because you're saying it took a long time to get there, and yet you're so young, and, you know, I mean, I don't know a lot of people who are there, and would you like to share more? Because people would love to be there, and like you said, when people aren't there in this moment or that moment, because it becomes more important to have this illusory idea of fitting in. I'm remembering I was sitting in Hawaii once, and everyone started, the dolphin energy just came in. We weren't out with the dolphins, but the dolphins had us. And everyone started singing in unique tones. And I could hear there was this incredible harmony in what would be classically considered disharmony, because nobody was doing what anyone else was doing. And it was really exquisite. And I've heard the dolphins do that. And then someone said, we've got to stop this and really harmonize and tune in with each other. And I knew the person's heart was in such a good place, but that what the ears were missing was that, well, we were so in tune with each other in this different kind of rhythm we weren't accustomed or conditioned to, that maybe we weren't hearing it. Kind of like when you hear all the crickets sing and you can tell they're so in unison.
Mm-hmm.
You said that there was a, you know, it took you you had to go through things in your life to get to a place where when someone's being triggered by your freedom of your expression, that you're not reacting to them, but you're having empathy and compassion for their yearning, and that's what's going on. And would you like to share anything about how you got to that kind of openness and non-judgmental, non-reactiveness to that?
Well, when I was a child, my parents never suppressed my vocal expression, more specifically. And, you know, they knew I screamed a lot, and we had woods around us, so, you know, we would just go into the woods and scream, and everything would be fine. And, you know, as I was growing up, I always sang, but I never sang in public. And then I'm kind of jumping around a bit, but when I went to college, it was a very conservative school, and I am anything but conservative, you know, in my dress, in my demeanor, in my expression. And I got a lot of, I'm really sensitive, and so I felt a lot of negative energy and judgment coming from most of the student body. The faculty were very liberal, and they supported me tremendously, which was good. But it got to the point where, you know, at first it kind of hurt me, and I started to become depressed. And then something happened, and I just said, this is ridiculous. Why am I letting all these other people influence me to conform to what they're, you know, limited norms are and behaviors. And so I kind of broke through my own boundary or my own blockage that was building up because of the feedback I was getting from other people, because most college kids aren't looking to find themselves in that deep spiritual way. And so, you know, I've always had a spiritual interest and a connection with the psych, you know, with the universe and with psychic phenomena and stuff. So, you know, and I also did a lot of reading. I read a lot of psychology, and I read a lot of, you know, philosophy. And I just formed my own philosophy about it. And really just, it's like something just came into my head. It was an idea. And it was like, you know, people aren't triggering, you're not triggering the people. They're, you know, or I'm sorry, the people aren't really truly mad at you. They're mad at something in themselves. And it was just this idea that came into my head, and I just embodied it, and it was really powerful to begin to live that way. It's like, it's very Zen in a way, non-attachment kind of thing. So,
a really beautiful place of neutrality and just understanding your place in the universe. It's you have a relationship to the universe, mm-hmm. and each person and each being you encounter does. And so there's not a lot that's personal when we reflect on each other what needs to come out of ourselves. It ultimately is each of our relationship to the universe. It's not really about each other. I mean, it appears to be in the moment, but
right.
kind of silly. And so you offer a lot of journey healing through energy work and through your music to assist other people. It's to assist other people in awakening into aspects of the universe, aspects of self. Is that accurate way to express what you do? Would you like to elaborate on that?
That's a really nice way of putting it. I'm open-minded, completely blank whenever anyone approaches me in whatever context of the healing work it is, whether or not it's a group like meditation concert or it's a private session. I talk to the person, I connect with their energy field, and I kind of get an idea of what's going on, but I don't take any responsibility for it because it's their responsibility, and I just facilitate, and people just have really amazing experiences. It's, you know, it's quite simple. Well, most people have amazing experiences. All the people I've worked with have had a positive experience, but it's how much they're willing in the moment and how ready they are to release whatever it is that's blocking them. I had a beautiful, beautiful experience in Portugal. I do one-on-one voice activation sessions with people in a crystal bowl. And this woman, she was just afraid. Like, you could see it in her, but she had this deep, deep, deep yearning to sing. And we were together, and I was just, I was helping her just by sending her love, and I was encouraging her to just sing. And then, like, suddenly, like, this hugely gigantic, powerful, like, shamanic medicine woman sound comes out of her, and it, like, completely fills the room, and we're all tingling, and she starts crying, and it was just really, really, really profound. And, you know, her life has not been the same since, you know, and she's found her power, and that's really what it's about. I mean, you know, we block ourselves in different ways, and we have to uncover the keys to those ways. And this particular woman is that she's a medicine woman. You know, it's part of her soul heritage. Whether or not she actually becomes a medicine woman and, you know, does that for a living, she has that energy in her. And I was able to support her in a space where she felt safe enough to go to that energy, which is really scary for people because it's so powerful. So
that's really wonderful and inspiring that you're able to facilitate and offer in a way that people feel so safe that these other aspects hidden to them of themselves and of the universe can come through them.
Thank you.
You're doing a lot of work in Portugal these days, huh?
Yes.
A lot of emails from Portugal, so you kind of have a following and have grounded yourself there part of the year. And
Yeah. It's a great story, but it's really long. But this is going to be my sixth trip, and my trips have been getting longer and, you know, in their length. But I'm staying for just under 3 months this time. And, it just kind of snowballed. I went once. People wanted me to come back. I went again. I met new people. They wanted me to, you know, have new opportunities. And it's just growing and growing and growing. Like, just today I got an email from someone. This woman wants me to organize a 3 or 4 day retreat up in an amazing resort in the north of Portugal in the beginning of September. So the opportunities are just like coming and coming and coming. And to me, that's a confirmation that I'm walking my path. I'm, you know, living my fullness of my purpose because it's happening so gracefully and with ease, which is something that I got from you. It's always asking for grace and ease. So, yeah, and the people there.
That's so exciting. I'm really happy for you that's just coming so naturally and
Thanks.
Organically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You were saying.
Well, you know, the people there are wonderful. It's like they're all ready for this kind of energy. and not that many people have been going through Portugal. Usually they have to travel elsewhere, but I mean, all my classes and concerts are always full, so a lot of times with new people, and it's really inspiring to be able to reach out and touch all of these people and see the changes that occur in them over time, because many people have been coming to my events since day one, and it's really amazing because not only do I feel like I'm doing my work, but I'm also feeling like I belong in this community of really wonderful, wonderful people. So I'm really fortunate. I mean, every day I think about it, and I feel really blessed.
I'm really happy for you. Are most of the people Portuguese, or is it more of a like international group that's gathered there?
No, they're all Portuguese.
They are.
But all Portuguese.
Yeah.
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 This is exciting. Yeah. And
yeah.
And then you're coming here back to the United States and continuing to work with people the year in the United States, and you're on the East Coast now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because the flow of opportunity in the States has been really interrupted with all of my traveling to Portugal. And so it's funny that I'm not able to manifest so many opportunities because I'm not here. And when I am here, I've been just moving around, and it's kind of ridiculous. I moved, like, I don't even know how many times in the last few years, but I feel like I'm, you know, I made the choice to move back to the East Coast and to really ground my space for the time being, and hopefully for a long period of time, so I can begin to build up the momentum that I have in Portugal. And I do have some opportunities and things, but it's definitely not as busy and full and dynamic as it is in Portugal. But that's okay, because when I come back to the States, that's like my vacation. So I just kind of relax. I work on my classical music and take it easy and live off of the earnings that I had in Portugal. So it's kind of a nice kind of a nice flow right now.
Yeah, and you're still doing a lot of composing of all your wonderful music. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah,
yeah, it's hard to talk about music. Music has to be heard. So why don't you tell people about your website so they can go over and listen to your music?
Okay. My website is www.crystalmusichealing.com. Pretty easy to remember. And there's a link on there that says listen, and it takes you to my online jukebox, which is free to listen to, although you can't download the tracks, but they're the full tracks. And I have a lot of stuff up there, some unreleased tracks, some live concerts from both the Crystal Bowl Healing and also my piano music. And so you can just listen all day long to my music if you want, and many people do. And they write me and they say, oh, it's so wonderful that you have your music on here, because I can just put it on in the background and feel wonderful. So
the music is very inspiring, and it's just full of life. I love to listen to your music. Some of your music has songs, and I just love all of it. It's really wonderful.
Thanks.
Yeah, I wouldn't be good at writing a music review. I just love it. Really simple.
Three words or less. I love it.
Well, I had sent you a bunch of questions in an email, but I think I'd just like to open up the conversation to whatever you would like to share and talk about. Is there something specific, a place you'd like to take the direction of the conversation right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to talk about my inspiration. Yeah, I guess we already did talk about that a little bit, but it's like I believe that everyone has the power to create and to express things, and I believe that power is a link that forms between the heart and the soul and then the higher self. And I mean, in my own experience, you know, I can't necessarily control when I'm going to write a new piece of music. It literally just pops into my head. And I think it's important that we have a spiritual connection and we're always connected with the higher dimensions and energies, because that's where, you know, the ideas and the inspiration come from. You know, even not just music, just people who invent things, people who, you know, paint and write and all this stuff. I mean, it's like you know, we're moving into a time when, you know, people are becoming conscious channels, whether or not they realize it or not, where we are the vessels for our own divine beings. And I just want to really encourage people to create, you know, and I kind of do that too, you know, like a lot of my friends, one friend in particular, he used to, we were roommates, and he used to tell me how he did oil painting when he was younger. And, you know, I encouraged him to get back into it. And, you know, the first painting he made was absolutely extraordinary. And he was like, nah, it's not that good, you know, and he's kind of cutting himself down. But, you know, he eventually came to realize the greatness of his creative work, and he just made this whole series of spectacular oil paintings, like the old-fashioned way, you know, like just layer after layer and letting them dry. And, you know, so, and what I get out of that is I'm helping to contribute to more beauty in the world. And, you know, I really wish everyone would do that. You know, if everyone was just going around and doing what they love to do and creating wonderful, beautiful things, I mean, it would be so much more magical. And I think it's getting there, at least in certain communities, and it's spreading. So, yeah, I remember I got that email, and this, your questions are really good, but I don't have the email up on my computer right now. I don't really know what to talk about. It's like talking with you. It's like talking with you.
Yeah, likewise. Well, I'd like to share an experience of when I received a session from you. It was some years ago now, but I did used to love to sing and dance and move and sound, and it was just the way I was for many, many years. And then I kind of stopped. I wasn't singing, and I had written hundreds of songs, and I wasn't songwriting. I didn't consider it to be a problem or anything I consciously chose. It's just other avenues had taken my attention, so I didn't think much of it. But interestingly enough, I wanted to experience what you were doing, so I didn't have a goal or a motive other than to experience it. But as soon as I received that session from you, I started singing again, and just something inside me opened up, and I started songwriting again, and I started performing in a much more deeply joyful way than I had when I had been performing in the past. And so I was just so grateful that your facilitation reopened that for me. It was very, very powerful, and I feel happiness and delight when I think about it. And that's what I love also about your work, that there's a energy about you that gives permission to people to be joyful, which is really such our natural state, it feels. But it seems to be a very natural state, and yet I don't see that the majority of the world is agreeing with that. Or, you know, it's very refreshing to interact, for me, with others who find this natural joy that the dolphins know, and just as something that is inherent, and that it's okay for us to feel.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that that energy is part of what's flowing from you.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. It's just that, joy. When I was a kid, my favorite word was joyous, and I would run around the recess yard. And I would be, this is joyous, this is joyous, oh, this is so joyous, oh, this is joyous, 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 joy, joyous, joy, joyous. And, you know, no one else thought anything of it, you know, because we're all kids and whatever, we're crazy. And then, like, I remember then this show Ren and Stimpy came out, and I loved the show. And, you know, Stimpy was obsessed with joy also, and there was the Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy song. And then when I was in middle school, when kids start getting kind of weird, you know, I was still doing my joy kick, and they all like accused me of stealing it from Ren and Stimpy, or, you know, taking it from Ren and Stimpy. And I felt, it was weird, but at the time, you know, I was a really young kid, I felt disempowered. I felt like my truth was like usurped in a way into the popular culture.
Aww.
And like, you know, I got it back eventually, but you know, I stopped saying joy and stuff for a while, but, like, that's kind of an interesting example, because most people's like norms and behavioral models are based on the what they get in the media, you know, what they see on TV, and you know, then you think of like the office environment. Can people really bounce around? And you know, when I was working in an office for like 6 months, and I would swing, you know, I would swirl around in my chair because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, it can, you know, turn you around in circles and, you know, be fun and silly. And all the other people were looking at me like I had two heads, and they're just sitting there stiffly typing away. And I'm like, come on, lighten up, you know, just be silly and kooky because it's fun. So, you know.
I remember one time I had been doing a lot of concerts. This was years ago, and I used to move and just, you know, let laughter and tears and sound come out naturally. And I went to give a concert in a different geographical location than I had gotten accustomed to, where I had gotten accustomed to certain audiences that were just, that was fine with them how I did it. And I started moving around, and I noticed everyone was just very kind of stiff and looking at me like very nervous as I was moving and singing. And one person started doing it with me, and all the eyes just turned on that person as if that person had violated some unspoken contract. So I, you know, I really understand what you're saying about this tendency that tribal thinking. I think it might be just a stage of thinking where people look for what's the most common norm in what appears to be the tribe and try to keep with that status quo because that will give some kind of outer acceptance. I mean, it's not a real acceptance or a fulfilling acceptance. It's not one accepting themselves, but it's it seems to just be some stage that human species some passes through until they're not needing that, and they're looking for a kind of connectedness with each other that goes deeper and really does require each person checking very deeply with what is happening through them, through their source. That checking it's not an intellectual checking. It's more of a natural allowance of what's trying to happen through us.
Mm-hmm.
Something's always trying to happen through us. And it feels to me that the more I release old thought forms that I find in my consciousness, and I find that with each of the old thought forms, there's some kind of energy configuration. And the more I just let those release, the more divine will is happy to utilize me. Just last night I found a thought form as I was falling asleep that I hadn't noticed, but I found a thought form that thought I was getting older. And I didn't used to have that at all for many years, but in the last 4 or 5 years, several times suddenly I take on a thought form that you're, you know, like you're not as active or as, it's just like bullshit. And I wasn't thinking it consciously, but I noticed it was there and it was permeating. So I just let it go. It waved out. It went in ripples. Ripples of that consciousness went out of my body. Then I felt so free. Then today I found myself moving around the house in all kinds of different swirls and curves that were different because that thought form, it's not a personal thought form. It's been thought by billions of people. I don't know how it got created, when, where. I don't know where thought forms. Thought forms get created as everything else gets created, but it was willing to release itself. And you have a great understanding of that releasing, that cleansing, so that we're more and more a neutralness, that life can come through. And would you like to say anything about that?
Well, I have a fun example of thought form like that. When I would perform with the crystal bowls, like my worst fear was that I would burp while I was singing. And so, you know, when I would feel a burp coming up, I would suppress it. And this one time I was playing at this kind of healing club area. It's, you know, it's one of the typical San Francisco artsy club places. And I was playing with another musician who was doing some really cool synthesizer stuff. But it got really intense. Really, really intense. I was really into this major, like, shamanic channeling, and suddenly I had to burp, and I was like, I couldn't break the energy, so I just, in that moment, I went there. I decided, you know what, this is ridiculous. Why am I suppressing this expression? If this is what needs to come out in this moment, maybe, you know, people need to experience it. because I'm everything that I channel, like, it, you know, it's part and parcel of the collective energy of the group. You know, it kind of, I kind of reflect that energy. So to suppress something, even if it's a burp, is to deny the full experience. So I just went there, and it was this huge, it became this gigantic roar like a lion, like, and it, like, filled my whole body, and it was this huge sound, and it just, like, almost like a kundalini rush, you know, where it just rolls up and out of my mouth, and then, you know, it was over, and no one, you know, nothing happened. No one, like, freaked out at me or anything. I mean, and afterwards, people came up to me, and they're like, that was so intense. Oh, my God, thank you so much. And, you know, it was the validation that even, like, something like a burp can inspire people. but it, you know, it did. And so, yeah.
It's just really amazing how when we let whatever is just simply trying to happen emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, we don't even know exactly why. And as you said, it's connected to everyone who's there and beyond. But something happens. A door is open. Creation is allowed to move. Well, just as the babies do. Babies cry. Then they laugh. Then they move. And yeah. It's over. And there's no story about it. I really like it that the culture of the United States, in becoming very psychological, has a tendency sometimes to see things through the eyes of pathology. And when things maybe aren't so pathological, but we really, with babies and animals, I don't think we do that so much. And it's really great if we translate that to ourselves, because so many expressions are trying to happen through us, all kinds. We could probably sit down and write hundreds upon hundreds of different kinds of expressions. And if we turn it into something that has to be diagnosed as pathological, we really miss the beauty. There's so much beauty in everything that's wanting to be expressed, everything physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And if we are giving room for that, it becomes a very beautiful, very full way of fulfilling. It becomes that we're waves of energy fulfilling each other. If when we stop stopping each other, we become these waves of energy that fulfills each other, and through that, so many incredible flavors that we didn't even know exist begin to come through. I can feel it right now, how a part of my consciousness, being a human being, thinks I know what this is all about. And probably I don't know anything about what this is all about. Probably if I was miles and miles and miles with a telescope on some other planet or floating about in the stars looking down on this, I would have a really idea about what this whole race being planted on Earth called humanity is. And maybe in our allowing our expressions on every level to come more and more naturally. And that's why when we have the satsangs here, and I ask people, could they suspend fixing, disagreeing, agreeing, praising, just for a little bit, just witness, just be present and see what's inspired in ourselves from another sharing, I think we'd start to have an amazingly different kind of human race experiencing life, and our creations will drastically change in ways we can't even begin to fathom.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll always remember the first time I met you was at that hotel in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, definitely.
And when I first walked in, I was running late, and so everyone was sitting in the chairs, and everyone was sitting really stiffly, and they all looked like, you know, average, normal people. You know, it was just like a collection of people. And then throughout the conference, as, you know, we started doing more exercises and more sharings and, you know, getting more intimate and building this almost like vortex of energy, by the end of the day, I was up at the front, and I looked back at everyone in their seats, maybe I was performing or something, and I saw a completely different audience.
Wow.
I saw people's, like, cosmic selves, like higher selves, like everyone was a shining divine being with something unique to offer. And it was such a contrast to the vision of the people that I had initially, you know, it was like maybe we were all just awakened to our higher selves, and you know, they're present with us now. Or maybe I was seeing things through a different lens initially, and it was me who experienced the change. But whatever it is, like, an average person has some sort of divine story, and that's what I'm interested in kind of anchoring on this planet. You know, I'm not responsible for them doing it, but I can certainly help with what I do.
You can be that yourself, and then that vibrates as a permission for others to go more deeply into what their divine self is wishing to birth through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah. Anything else?
Well, let's just take a moment of silence and see if there's anything else that wants to come up.
Okay.
I think I'd like to share how right now in the silence what I was feeling from my own physical nature and especially my skin was how it was my physical life form is telling me how much he loves to move and just follow the waves of movement and how that creates a kind of health and vitality, and how the other kind of energy that would stop that, maybe by getting into ruts. Like, I love to work out at the gym, but it can sometimes feel like it creates an unnatural pattern for me. I have nothing against gyms; I like them, but it sometimes can create this unnatural pattern where the body's wanting to go in all these different curves and waves, and I'm just again feeling the exquisite ecstasy of that allowance of movement and how that just brings in great bliss and joy. And for me, it aligns my mic. I consider my mind and body to be my microphone for my soul. And that allows my mind and body to tune, to be in the same resonance and vibration as in my soul, rather than in any kind of resistance or opposition to that. I'm just feeling the delight of that and the freedom of that. And I'm simply sharing in the moment what's coming up. And maybe we can just do the rest of our interaction, which is pretty much what we're doing already, by going back and forth and witnessing each other as we express whatever comes up.
It's funny, when I was sitting in that silence, I started to feel my body as well and the flows of energy that come through it. And for me, my strongest sort of psychic sense is clairsentience. I feel with my body. Like, I feel when there's a presence in the room. I feel other people's energy, and I feel what's going on in my body. And it's I think that's why one of the reasons I've had to do so much internal work when I was younger, because I really couldn't survive if I didn't connect with my body and really discover the body and how it communicates with me. And I use my body all the time to get answers and things. You kind of like use it as a dowsing rod for what's good for you and for what's not. Because, you know, a lot of people think the body is just, you know, a physical shell that the soul, you know, inhabits and, you know, the mind controls. But the body has its own intelligence also. I believe that all of our cells are part of the intelligence of the body. And the body knows how to heal itself. And if, you know, we're talking about, healing and stuff and even releasing thought forms, it's like you know how to do it if you let your body do it. I let you, actually, you really inspired me one time when you were talking about how animals kind of release cellular trauma by going away and kind of just shaking it out. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but like that happened to me, and that happened to me in a really, really powerful and profound way when we were on Hawaii, and we were doing the whole Ho'oponopono thing, and I was at that heiau, and I was there alone, and suddenly something told me to just lie down on my back, and I did. And then I just laid there for a little bit, and I felt like I was actually dying, like it was a death. And once that kind of happened, I was just laying there, and then suddenly my body started to move on its own. I wasn't controlling the movements at all. And it was such a profound experience because it was kind of stretched out with my hands above my head and my feet out straight. And then it rolled to the side. I swear I wasn't using any effort or muscles or anything. My body was just moving on its own. And my body pivoted 180 degrees around on my hip and then laid me back down in a different position. Like, it was the most bizarre experience I'd ever had. But it was positioning me to have a very deep, profound physical, cellular release of a past life death experience, which I then released. So the body is an infinite universe in itself, and it's all you really need to do is to find quiet within. Like, you know, a lot of people think that the samadhi pose in yoga is just to rest. But what that is that's the gateway to letting your body do its work. And I don't know why I'm talking about this, but it's coming up. It's just, you know, the profound possibilities of everything. And that's also, you know, a form of expression and a form of healing. And just so that people know, you know, their body is worth building a relationship with as if it were a living being, because it is. So you've got your body that you got your relationship with, you've got your mind that you have a relationship with, and then, you know, you've got your soul and your higher self that you have a relationship with. So then I suppose what's the, you know, the question is, well, who's the one having the relationship with all these things? Or is it just the three of them together create, like, your composite consciousness? I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into philosophy, but...
Well, go, because it's not really philosophy. It's really the question that's always there, and I'm asking it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who's taught? Who just said that? And who heard that? And who is this expression? And it does go deeper and deeper and deeper into eternity. I mean, like when you're talking about samadhi, saying no, it's not just resting. It's going deeper and deeper and deeper into eternity. And there, on the outer edges, is this. These waves of eternity that have become physical and taken on a personality. And I really relate deeply to what you're sharing, because I've had times where the body just started dancing and moving or shaking, and it was going in a way that I wasn't deciding that it would go. I, who I think at times is I mean, that I disappears a lot too, but the I that I think is I was not having a say in it. The energy itself was dancing the body, and much was taken out of the body that wasn't needed from that excursion, which really just came through surrendering to what that life form, the physical body you were talking about, how we have all these different aspects of I that we instruct, or who instructs them, or who, but we as I surrender to my heart, as I surrender to my body, as I surrender to aspects of my mind that are different than the ones that are kind of habitually thinking in certain conditioned ways, there is this opening into qualities like joy, like abundance, like compassion, like kindness. And then there's this opening through that into something. It's just so beautiful. It feels like every quality all at once. It sounds like a choir of beautiful sounds, and it goes forever into something from which we all seem to be being born out of each second.
Yeah. You know, one of the most influential images from philosophy that I have is, I think Herodotus is the one who said it, you know, the river is always there, but it's never the same. And, you know, that's how we are.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, it seems like we're, you know, physically constant beings, but you know, we're really not. We're constantly changing, because we are the energy that's flowing through us. and it comes in and it becomes us for a moment, and then it flows out. And in a lot of my classes, I talk about the imagery of a chain link fence. You know, that when, you know, just every day the wind blows, you know, litter and leaves, they clog the fence. So, you know, periodically you have to just, you know, shake the fence and loosen up the debris. And, you know, that's a lot of the work that I do with sound and, you know, vibrating the body in that aspect. But that, you know, we need to apply that to everything, every aspect of ourselves. Like, just, you know, just to express the emotions, the energy in motion, you know, just, and the thought forms, you know. I have some really weird thoughts that just come into my head, and then there's some of them are so ridiculous, I physically shake my head, and I'm like, this is ridiculous, you know. They leave. I don't know. You know, like, it's almost like we're constantly challenged with, you know, negative thought forms, because they're just in the air everywhere. And then, you know, when we just release them, you know, then they don't affect us anymore. And maybe we actually transmute them and weaken their power over the collective consciousness. And, you know, I really believe that. A lot of people I know who are healers, they experience these sort of, you know, global human issues simply to transmute them and to raise the vibration away from those issues. And
that's really fascinating. I was having a dance with guilt for the last 8 or 9 months that I never had before. It wasn't ever something that plagued me, and I was blessed to really be born into a family where I wasn't imposed upon. I was very free to express however it came out of me, and I'm really thankful that I grew up like that. So a lot of guilt that I would encounter, people would share with me, they felt about not doing things in certain traditional ways or particular spiritual or religious ways. I wouldn't really understand it, but I would just feel compassion. And then for 9 months, this guilt was plaguing me, and I kept having thoughts about like how I was doing things different than all the major world religions and what was wrong. But it was odd experience, because it was so foreign to any way I'd ever thought in my life. And I was really battling with it and waking up in the morning kind of condemning myself for until I forgot it was just a thought form.
Mm-hmm.
And then had to remember that this is just a thought form, and it, like you said, it can be shaken off, it can be danced away, and it can be, and I'm grateful now, because it what it ultimately did was really give a more sweetness in my heart for experiences that a lot of people are having and that I hadn't had. And so it gave me much more understanding, because that wasn't something that was handed to me, but many people are handed from conditioning in their family when they're born, that you're supposed to do things if you're correctly religious or spiritual in very particular ways. And I never bought it, but now I know what it's like to have that thought form plaguing me, so I can have an appreciation for people who are struggling with that kind of conditioning. And it is interesting how these thought forms are floating around, and it you know, you can catch a cold and you can catch a thought form. And then there's a choice to let it go, to find a way to adjust it or shift it or harmonize with it, or simply release it and let it go. Jesse Desenjoy just came up to the phone. He went to do something, so I'll just be quiet while I listen. And then,
okay.
Yeah. He just felt very happy about the conversation and just wanted to come in and share in the energy. So that's all. He's right here.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Why don't you give people your website and phone number one more time, so that if they want to contact you and learn more about attending one of your events or coming to you for a session, or do you do long-distance sessions?
Yes.
Okay, doing a long-distance session by the phone or listening to your music. Give them any ways in which you'd like them to find you.
Okay. The website again is www.crystalmusichealing.com, and my phone number, if anyone wants to call me and say hi, is 415 420 6232. And my email is a really good way to contact me, and that is museofaquarius@gmail.com. And that's M-U-S as in Sam, E-O-F as in Frank, A-Q-U-A-R-I-U-S as in Sam, at gmail.com.
Great.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much, Brad, for having this conversation. I'm sure people will love hearing it. Is there anything else you want to add or share before we close?
I just want to thank you. You're a great friend, a great inspiration, and I love talking to you. All of the work that you do has really influenced me in many, many deep ways and helped me to become more fully the being that I am. And I just, you know, I just want to acknowledge the synergy that I feel with you as cosmic kin. And I just love hanging out with you.
Thank you. I feel the same way. And that reminds me that we're about to send out our first, we have a YouTube, what do you call it? We have a community television show now. It's going to go, I was thinking it was 20, but I think it might be more like 30 different community television stations across the country, USA, and we're putting the first episode on. It's about 2 hours, and we're about to send them out. And there's a beautiful scene with you singing in it, I Am Love. And that's when you sing and when you talk, just being in your presence, I always feel this huge opening, just this spacious opening, and I really love our connection and prosper and have learned so much and grown so much from it, too. So thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, well, have a great day. Take care.
Thank you, Lori. You too.
Okay, bye, Brad.
Bye.